Grace and peace to you this day from Jesus Christ, God's Word made flesh among us, and from the Holy Spirit, God's power made real in our lives. Amen. Our gospel reading today begins by telling of the large crowd that followed Jesus because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Responding to the needs of the sick and the needs of those who care for them is one of the things we do as the body of Christ, the church. Many of us here at Grace became keenly aware of that this past week, as two of our members had surgery this past Friday. It was quite a shock when Pastor Jim Norley, who we have long valued as a colleague, a friend, a leader, a preacher, a caregiver, a mentor, a companion on our journey, was unexpectedly diagnosed with a brain tumor this past week and experienced a very long and complicated surgery on Friday. All of a sudden, this brother in Christ, known for responding to the needs of others, found himself in great need of our prayers and attention. I am so thankful, and I know Jim is too, because he said that, for the many prayers from this congregation, from the Campus Ministry Network, from the Oregon Synod, and beyond, which were offered and are still being offered on his behalf. I'm convinced that those prayers had something to do with the fact that Pastor Wendell and I could have an intelligible conversation with Jim in his 24 hours after his surgery. At this point, none of us know exactly what is ahead for Jim and what we might yet be called upon to do on his behalf, but I know that this congregation will be willing to do it as you have done and are doing for so many others. Also in our prayers this past week was high school sophomore Gabri Bellotta, who had an emergency appendectomy Friday morning. I'm pleased to report that Gabri is doing very well after her surgery and is expected to have a normal and complete recovery. So thank you for your prayers for her in her time of need. When one starts thinking about human need, many things come to mind. We are aware that this community is divided and conflicted upon how to best meet the needs of the homeless. Nevertheless, they are here and we are called to respond. So we continue to pray for reconciliation, wisdom, compassion, and the good use of resources as we respond to this need, which is not only a great need in our community, but every community within our country. As a praying and engaged community of faith, we realize that not only is there a human need for access to health care, shelter, food, and basic services, but there is also a human need for employment, for mental health services, for education, for companionship, for sanitation, for encouragement, for protection, and the list goes on and on. It would appear that we, as humans, are pretty needy, in spite of our tendency in the U.S. to think of ourselves as self-sufficient. The society we have built around us reflects our response to human need. If we were not trying to respond to human need, we would not have a cold weather shelter, soup kitchen, and daytime drop-in center. We would not have schools, hospital, hospice, farms, wave labs, Habitat for Humanity, a Habitat for Humanity restore, volunteer interfaith caregivers, a public library, parks, and yes, this list also could go on and on. Yet, needs persist. Not only do needs persist, but they seem to grow. If one need seems to be met, another one soon appears. In today's gospel reading, Jesus poses a human need to his disciple, Philip. The need, as Jesus states it, is to buy bread for people to eat. Responding very rationally, after all, Jesus just set him up, Philip replies that 6 months' wages would not be enough to buy bread for the people who were gathered there. Andrew then echoes Philip's assessment of the impossibility of meeting such a great need by pointing out that a boy has surfaced with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But these meager resources don't begin to address the enormity of the need. Interesting, isn't it, that even 2,000 years ago, people sought to respond to need with money and with the use of their own resources. We often think to ourselves, wouldn't it be great if money alone could solve our problems and meet our needs? If somehow we might magically redistribute the wealth of the world so that money was used where and when it was needed, and there might even be some left over, wouldn't that be wonderful? If only renewable resources were utilized to meet human needs so that the earth might be restored and kept in a sustainable balance for the benefit of all living things, wouldn't that be amazing? As humans, we tend to think along these lines. That is why, after Jesus fed all those people on the mountainside in Galilee, they wanted to instantly pronounce him king. Here, they thought, is a person who human solution to human problems. Not only does he heal our sick, he feeds the hungry as well. Yet, Jesus resists succumbing to the plans and vision that others have for him. Jesus shows himself not to be the God of our making, but the God who in the beginning was with God and was God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Jesus had no interest in being a temporary earthly ruler. That was not his calling. Jesus was about the business of bringing life, light, truth, and grace to our world in a way in a way which does not eradicate need but meets it. It's in the meeting of need and responding with divine love and compassion that God's power is made known. Jesus even goes beyond meeting need. He satiates it and provides in abundance. Not only do people have enough bread, they have more than enough. Bread is left over, loaves abound. Yet, the point of Jesus' feeding miracle is not to become a miraculous bread machine, but rather to point to God's ability to meet our spiritual needs and longing in a way in which nothing earthly, such as money, natural resources, or political power, is able to do. Jesus comes to us in times of need just as he once came to his hungry, fearful disciples, not to flaunt his power, but to use it to exercise abundant grace. In just a few minutes, we will have an opportunity to stand together as sisters and brothers in Christ to affirm the faith in which we were baptized. It is in this faith that we live together and work together as Jesus leads us to meet human need and bring God's abundant power, grace, and spirit-filled action to bear upon it. We do not despair because our calling is not to eradicate human need, but to boldly go into the streets, the community, and the world to meet human need so that Jesus' power might be made known not through our human strength, but through our human weakness. In this way, life, light, truth, and grace will abound, even in the midst of death, darkness, deceit, and condemnation. Life has conquered death. Light overcomes the darkness. Truth exposes all that is false, and grace foils punishment. For these gifts of God, life, light, truth, and grace, we give thanks as once again we are fed and nourished around this table by the one who is the bread of life. Amen.